Brett Hundley isn't expected to play or practice this week after injuring his ankle. What's the domino effect on the quarterback position in Green Bay? We'll ask sports reporter Caitlin Sharkey of WBAY-TV. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about Packers preseason action, and to do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone today.
Expert interview.
We have Caitlin Sharkey of WBAY-TV in Green Bay, one of their sports reporters. Ms. Sharkey, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us on the show. We appreciate you coming on at this early hour. Caitlin, I live in the Madison market, so I'm not sure. For these past few preseason games, have you been at Lambeau Field? Have you been in the studio? What's been your perspective on the game?
The first one against the Browns, I was at the game. This last one against the Raiders, I was in studio anchoring. So I've seen both perspectives early on this season.
Okay, sounds good. Good to know your background here on this. Sorry, I don't know you any better than that. But let's talk about some several Packers issues and lots of quarterback talk today. Mike McCarthy doesn't anticipate Brett Hundley practicing or playing in this next preseason game this upcoming week. How much do you think this is setting Hundley back?
I think it's setting Hundley back, but not so much that it's going to ruin his chances or anything like that. I think the injury is more of a nagging, irritating injury at this point. I don't think they're worried about any long-term effects. I mean, Hundley walked into the locker room Saturday when we talked to him, a bunch of the reporters, and he was walking, like he was barely limping. He seemed upbeat. So he seems pretty confident that this is just like a minor setback. Obviously, it hurts him that he's only taken 20 snaps this preseason, especially because this is his time to shine. And he had a really good opening drive, a 14-play touchdown drive against the Raiders. So it's kind of unfortunate in that sense, but I don't think like long-term or going down the road, it's really going to hurt Hundley that much. He said he's just going to be keep doing those mental reps and try to stay in as much as he can until he's healed.
Yeah, and that's the silver lining, I suppose, from this perspective. Now, with Aaron Rodgers, do you think we finally see him as the starter play this week after sitting out the first two games? And beyond that, how long do you think he'll play?
I think we may see Aaron Rodgers this week, especially with Hundley out. I think he might get the start, but I don't think he stays in there long. Maybe one or two series, and that's about it. I know they don't want him. They know he doesn't need – I mean, Coach McCarthy has said he's got so much experience that he doesn't need necessarily the game reps. He's a big believer in practice reps, stuff like that. So I think he'll get out there, but I don't think he'll last very long at all.
Yeah, we haven't seen much of Aaron Rodgers this preseason. I wonder how much we'll see him in that fourth preseason game as well. That may not be for long either. But Joe Callahan, he figures to relieve Rodgers in San Francisco. How much has he benefited from, you know, Rodgers and Hundley not playing in these preseason games?
I mean, it's been a huge opportunity for Callahan. And I think, I mean, he's made the most of it at the level that he's playing at. I think against the Raiders, he was kind of caught by surprise. You could see the shot of him like being thrown in the game when Hundley came out. So I don't think he performed as well as he would have liked against the Raiders. I mean, he only had 65 yards and was like 9 of 17. But against the Browns, when he was prepared to start, I think he did a lot better, and I think he was a little bit more comfortable. But, I mean, this is huge for him, for a guy from Wesley College. You know, getting all these reps and working under Aaron Rodgers and even Brett Hundley, I think he's learned a lot. and his confidence is, you know, at a high level. So I think it's been a big preseason for him, and he's making the most of his opportunity.
Absolutely, big time for a guy from a Division III school from New York.
Exactly.
kind of different position here, but in the same vein as talking about these injury situations and preseason action, do you anticipate Jordy Nelson will play in San Francisco and get some work with Rodgers after coming off the PUP list last week?
I think Jordy is a little bit more iffy on whether or not he'll play. I mean, he is set to practice today for the first time, and Coach McCarthy said the emphasis for him in practice will be working one-on-one with Rodgers so that they get all those reps in before the regular season starts. He said he wanted to shoot to be ready by week one, so I don't know if they're just kind of hold him off until the regular season starts because they're putting all that emphasis on the reps in practice. Although he did dress for warm-ups to give everyone a little bit of a tease at the Raiders game, but then, of course, changed clothes. So I don't know. I think he's a little bit more iffy, though, on if he plays. I think it'll depend on how his week of practice goes.
Speaking of working with Aaron Rodgers, how important is it for a new addition to the offense like Jared Cook to finally see some time with Aaron Rodgers in a game environment?
I think it is huge, but I think Cook and Rodgers already have some chemistry. You can see it in practice. I mean, his first practice back, Rodgers was finding Cook all over the place. He's a big play target for them, and I think Cook finally has a really good quarterback, and I think that's what he's kind of been missing in his career. So I think he's going to capitalize on that. He's really excited, and I think because of their experience in the league, the game reps are, of course, important, but I don't think they're as vital. And judging on what they've done in practice already, I think it's going to be – Cook's going to give some good production for the Packers.
We're talking to Caitlin Sharkey of WBAY-TV in Green Bay here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Caitlin, we now know that Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers have reportedly agreed to meet with NFL investigators over these PED allegations this week that we've heard so much about. What do you expect to happen in that regard as it plays out over the course of the next week here?
I honestly don't expect too much to happen, especially now that they've agreed to meet. I mean, from day one, Matthews and Peppers have said, you know, the allegations are completely bogus and nonsense. And they've been outspoken on that front, and they've kind of let the PA just kind of take over. I mean, with them facing the suspension and all of that stuff, I think they're kind of looking out for what's best for the team, but I think it's also kind of murky waters because anytime someone can accuse the player of something, it's kind of showing that the NFL can haul them in and make them talk. So I don't expect much to happen. I don't think they're going to say a whole lot about it, Matthews and Peppers. They've spoken on it, but from here on out, unless a decision comes down or something like that, I don't expect to hear much. I'm just sure they're ready to put it aside and move on. You know, they said it's been a tiny distraction, not huge, but I think they're probably sick of hearing about it.
So until this PED investigation plays out, I think there will be continue to be a lot of attention on the outside linebacker position in training camp. Mm-hmm. So that being said, you know, what's been your impression of guys like Dayton Jones and Nick Perry so far this summer?
I think Dayton has kind of realized it's a big year for him. It's a contract year. He's down 15 pounds. I mean, he knows he's had three mediocre seasons, not anything flashy. But talking to him after the Packers' first preseason game, he said he feels more comfortable outside. He had a sack against the Browns. I mean, I think he's kind of finding his comfort level and knowing it's kind of a make-or-break year for him. And as far as Nick Perry, I think Nick Perry is going to help Peppers, you know, in the sense that Peppers doesn't have to play as much if Perry is there to do his job. He's done a good job so far in the preseason, and I think they're, you know, kind of realizing what they need to do to get themselves on the field, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. The preseason is always interesting because these guys make big plays, and then they kind of disappear in the regular season, so it'll be interesting if Dayton and Nick continue to make those plays, but they're on the right track, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's going to have to carry over to the regular season for these guys, for one, for the Packers to do well, and two, for their future with the team. But mm-hmm. last question before we let you go here, Caitlin. What do you make of the inside linebacker position, especially after Sam Barrington made his preseason debut this past Thursday against the Raiders?
I think, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts at that inside linebacker position. I think Barrington, I mean, he had one tackle for loss against the Raiders, so nothing super flashy, but, I mean, he's down 22 pounds. He's made differences in his, you know, physical state. I think he's fired up. He's always got that aggression. You know, he said that he doesn't care if there's three teddy bears in the depth chart behind him. He's still going to fight. So I think his play will come slowly. As long as he stays healthy, I think they're in good shape. But it's interesting with Blake Martinez. He's been, you know, kind of the leader as far as communication on the field, and he's kind of stepped into that role. And he's had a decent preseason. And it's kind of interesting to watch guys like Joe Thomas and Carl Bradford, you know, making their names more known, especially because they've kind of struggled the last few seasons. So I think there's a lot of movement at the inside linebacker position. And once Jake Ryan gets over a hamstring injury, he's another piece that gets thrown in there. So I think a lot can evolve even before this regular season gets underway.
Yeah, nice to see a lot of guys playing well at that position for sure. Caitlin, thank you so much. Is WBAY sending anyone to San Francisco?
Yes, Chris Roth will be there.
So okay.
Be there. So we'll get the reaction and highlights from there.
Yep. And you'll be in the studio that day?
Yep, I'll be in the studio.
All right, we'll watch for you on Friday to get some Packers news. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate you once again talking to us at this early hour. Enjoy practice today and covering the Packers, and we'd love to have you on again sometime.
Awesome, for sure. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Caitlin Sharkey of WBAY joining us here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Glad to have her join us. Glad to have you, the listener, join us as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
All right. Kind of giving you my two cents on some of the issues we just talked to Ms. Sharkey about. Packers head coach Mike McCarthy doesn't expect Brett Hundley to practice or play in this week's third preseason game against the San Francisco 49ers, according to comments made this past Saturday, which to me isn't surprising after Hundley re-injured the same ankle he sprained earlier in training camp, sidelined him for about 2 weeks, then he came back. The Packers are obviously erring on the side of caution here, just like they did in the Raiders game, immediately pulling Hundley out and not taking any chances, even if he could have continued playing had it been a regular season game. You know, the most important thing is that Hundley is ready for the regular season week one, and if that means he needs a week off to get right, then that's what the Packers should do. It certainly would be nice to see him get some playing time against the 49ers, just from the standpoint that he's still young and needs all the playing time he can get. In a perfect world, the preseason is one of the few places for him to gain experience, but ultimately his health is of utmost importance. So as it stands, Aaron Rodgers figures to start the game against the 49ers. How long he plays is still up in the air. If I had to guess, I would say Rodgers plays most, if not all, of the first half. That's kind of at odds with Caitlin Sharkey guest, who thought he might only play a series or two. I just think that this will be maybe the one and only opportunity for Rodgers to play in the preseason. Again, if I had to guess, I'm guessing that Rodgers isn't playing at all the fourth preseason game. And so, like, he may play an entire half here, and that would be it. That would be his preparation for the regular season. And then he'll give way to Joe Callahan and Marquise Williams in the second half of this Friday's game against the San Francisco 49ers. Once again, Callahan figures to be the biggest beneficiary of Hundley's injury, getting more and more exposure in a game environment. I think at this point, Callahan is ahead of Williams to become the team's practice squad quarterback, but I see no reason why they won't keep Williams around as long as possible, just as an insurance policy. You know, whether they keep Williams around for the fourth preseason game after the cut down to 75 players is a question mark at this time. That could come down to whether Hundley's ready to play next week. For the fourth and final, the preseason finale you know, if Hundley isn't ready to go, maybe they keep Williams around until that last cut, just so, you know, Rodgers doesn't have to play and it'll come down to Gallagher and Williams in that fourth preseason game. We got a week to go yet before having to decide that, but those are the dominoes that are falling at the quarterback position here with the injury to Hundley and the decision about whether or not to play Rodgers or how much to play Rodgers in these last few games. So there's kind of my thoughts on the quarterback position. But in other news, no, this hasn't become a baseball podcast, but on Friday, baseball players Ryan Howard and Ryan Zimmerman were exonerated this past Friday from any wrongdoing by Major League Baseball in accusations made during an Al Jazeera documentary, and they joined former Broncos quarterback Peyton Manning among the players cleared from claims made by Charlie Sly in the aforementioned documentary. This, of course, is notable in relation to Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers, who were also named in the documentary, which only makes me more inclined to think that Matthews and Peppers will also be cleared, although that is merely a guess and no guarantee at this point. We also know, according to a report from USA Today, that Matthews and Peppers will submit to interviews with the NFL sometime this week ahead of the imposed August 25th deadline from the league, and those interviews will take place at Packers facilities. Now, when precisely they'll have these interviews, we just don't know yet. But they'll apparently take place ahead of the interview by Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker James Harrison, who has said he'll do his interview on August 30th, which comes after the deadline. What's going to happen to Harrison because of that, I'm not really sure, but this is a Packers podcast, so I'm not going to worry too much about what's going to happen to a Pittsburgh Steeler. Former Packers linebacker Mike Neal has also reversed course and said he'll submit to an interview sometime this week in Chicago as well. So we can only wait and see what news emerges after the players take part in the interviews. I expect we'll hear something from the NFL by Friday, assuming Matthews and Peppers, you know, go through with the interviews. But we'll see. Again, that's merely speculation on my point. But I expect we'll hear, I mean, ultimately, I expect by Friday we'll hear Matthews and Peppers will be cleared. But again, that is just a guess. And when they finally do, if and when they finally do, we can put this episode behind us. I feel like every episode I have some little minor update detail about the PED investigation. It's just lingering on at this point. So whatever happens, I'm ready to put it behind me and put it behind the Packers and just move on. I'm sure most people feel the same way. They don't want to see a Tom Brady Deflategate type of thing lingering on. I did think it was going to linger on for a while. I thought it was going to get caught up in the court system, but once the players agreed to interviews, that's going to expedite the process, I assume, regardless of what happens. So we'll see. We'll see. And by the way, you know, I stand corrected in comments made to me on social media last week in regards to the injured reserve rule. I just wanted to point this out briefly, which I considered a possibility for wide receiver Jeff Janis. Now, I wasn't entirely wrong. The Packers can still choose only one player to come off injured reserve this season. The difference is they just don't have to designate that player right away like they did the previous few years. The Packers can wait if they so choose. The Packers can place Janis or any other player on injured reserve and then wait until the regular season to decide which player to come off that list. Again, the Packers only get one, so they must choose carefully. they just don't have to make that decision like right away. They can place at the start of the regular season, they can place multiple players on injured reserve. They can place Giannis on injured reserve and then Matt Rotherham on injured reserve. And I'm just speculating here. But you know, then at you know, end of the season, then they could decide which player is going to come off. And I tend to think that more and more, I was inclined to think the Packers would just carry Giannis on the regular season roster as part of the 53, just because for a few games they're going to need, seven players are inactive on game days anyway, so why not have Giannis be one of them? But the more and more I think about it, the more and more I think Giannis could be this one player who gets that designation. I'm not willing to, you know, bet the mortgage on it or anything like that, because the Packers still have two preseason games to play out here, and you unfortunately never know if another injury could occur that kind of supersedes this. So we'll see, but that's my inclination at this point. I kind of wanted to do this a little bit on today's podcast here. And I kind of have a 53-man roster prediction of what's going to happen to the Green Bay Packers. I'm just going to go briefly through each position on the roster, and I'm going to give you the 53 players I think the Packers will keep. Again, subject to change here. Things could happen in the last two preseason games or training camp that changed my mind. But at this point, here's my 53-man roster prediction with a few comments after each position here. At quarterback, I think the Packers are going to keep Aaron Rodgers and Brett Hundley. So I think Joe Callahan's going to be kept on the practice squad. So just two quarterbacks there. And I think most people are in agreement with that. So I'm not going to go into a whole lot of analysis and commentary on the quarterback position. I'll talk more about where tough decisions are on the roster. At running back, and this one is a little bit tougher here, I think the Packers are only going to keep four running backs, and that includes the fullback position. So a little bit light here on running backs, as you know, a lot of years the Packers have kept five or more at the position. So I think they're going to keep Eddie Lacy, James Starks, John Crockett, and then fullback Aaron Ripkowski. So four players in the backfield, which is a little bit light. And, you know, I think really the only question comes down to, are they going to keep John Crockett or Brandon Burks? Ultimately, I think Crockett's the more experienced player. I think he's a good jack-of-all-trades player that can contribute a little bit everywhere. Brandon Burks has certainly been impressive and a candidate for the practice squad, but I don't see him unseating Crockett at this point. Now, part of the reason I think the Packers will only keep four running backs is because, as I get into the wide receiver analysis here, I think there's multiple receivers that can kind of play in the backfield a little bit. Almost, you know, Randall Cobb and Ty Montgomery and maybe even Jared Aberderis, you know, they can play in like one back sets in the backfield. So I kind of see that as, you know, all of a sudden if a running back were to get hurt, they could do that maybe a little bit more often and at least get them through a game or something like that. So anyway, so the wide receivers, I think the Packers are going to keep, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Davante Adams, Ty Montgomery, Jared Aberderis, and Trevor Davis. So I got the Packers keeping six. I thought maybe they would keep seven with Jeff Janis. Right now, I'm leaning toward the Packers keeping Janis on injured reserve. Again, things could change, but that's the way I see things playing out right now. You know, it kind of gives them the luxury of keeping an extra guy, you know, on the 53-man roster, and then you just know by the time Janis is ready to come off injured reserve, you know, sometime in the first 6 to 8 weeks of the regular season, somebody else is going to get injured, and then kind of that roster decision is made easy for you. So that's what I think is going to happen there. For a while, I was thinking, you know, Davante Adams just You know, I thought maybe he could even be a trade candidate. I thought, you know, a little bit of a long shot there of that happening, but I just, you know, wasn't so impressed by him. But, you know, ultimately with Janis being hurt and the fact that the Packers don't have a lot of experienced options past, you know, Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb, I think, you know, Devontae Adams is the next most experienced player, and that just gives him a leg up, if nothing else. I hope he continues to get better as he's more healthy, as he dealt with injuries last season. But yeah, so like I said, you know, I also think Randall Cobb and Ty Montgomery can play a little back and one back sets coming out of the backfield. And Jared Abrideras has just been so strong and healthy that I think he ultimately wins a roster spot. And it doesn't hurt that he can return punts and kicks as well, even though I'm not sure he's going to do that. We'll see. You know, I think Micah Hyde will be the punt returner, and I think, you know, Jeff Janis, if he was healthy, would be the kick returner. We'll see what the Packers do there. Again, two preseason games to wait till we make those decisions. Tight end, I only got the Packers keeping three: Jared Cook, Richard Rodgers, and Justin Perrillo. Obviously, they're going to keep Cook and Rodgers. There's no questions there. And you know what? The toughest choice I made was probably cutting Kennard Backman. The Packers kept him on the roster last year. It was kind of one of those, you know, red shirt years, his first year in the NFL, his rookie year, but they kept him around. I ultimately see him being cut. I think they would choose to assign him to the practice squad if he, you know, wanted to stay around, if he didn't want to sign anywhere else. But it, you know, it was a tough choice, and maybe after I'm all done, I can kind of go through who I thought the Packers should keep instead of him. As you know, the choice of the 53rd choice, the toughest choice I made, he actually came down to a player at another position. But yeah, so Cook, Rodgers, and Perillo. Justin Perillo's just been so solid in terms of a receiver. He's not much of a blocker, but I think he can be that number three tight end for the Packers, at least for this year. And then they will probably keep a fourth tight end on the practice squad. You know, I thought maybe keeping only four running backs means the Packers could keep four tight ends, but I don't see Kennard Backman getting much playing time. You know, as long as Jared Cook and Richard Rodgers are healthy, you know, I don't even see Perillo getting that much playing time if those guys are healthy. So it's that would be a tough choice, but one I think the Packers ultimately make. The offensive line, you know, the tackles and guards at starters are set. David Bakhtiari, Josh Sitton, T.J. Lang, and Brian Bulaga. There is a big question mark at Treader at center in terms of J.C. Treader would be the starter if Lindsley is hurt. I don't know what the Packers are going to do with Corey Lindsley, because I'll tell you what, if Corey Lindsley doesn't come off the PUP list this week, he may go into the regular season on the PUP list, which is, of course, different than injured reserve. So, you know, we got to see what happens to Corey Lindsley and really, you know, what's going to happen this week, because I don't, if he doesn't come off this week, then he just probably sticks on the PUP list, because I don't think he comes off the PUP list next week for just 1 week of preparation in terms of, you know, for the regular season. But so I ultimately said the Packers will keep both Treader and Lindsley on the roster for this little prediction here, but that could change. You know, I'm playing it by ear at this point, as I'm sure anyone. So Bakhtiari, Sitton, Shredder, Lang, Bulaga, Lindsley. And then I think the Packers are going to keep three more. So eight total, or pardon me, that would be nine total offensive linemen. Nine total. I think the backups they're going to keep here, in addition to Lindsley, would be Jason Spriggs, obviously your second-round draft choice. Kyle Murphy, the sixth-round draft choice. And then Lane Taylor, the Packers guard there. So nine offensive linemen. And I do see the Packers cutting Walker, which was a tough one. And maybe they could invite him back to the practice squad. But yeah, I don't see him keeping Barclay either. Defensive line. So moving to the defensive side of the football, I see the Packers keeping five defensive linemen. Obviously, Mike Daniels, LaTroy Guyon, first round draft pick, Kenny Clark. They're not going to cut Dean Lowry, a rookie. He may not be a huge part of the team's defense. He may or may not. We'll see. And then I do have the Packers keeping Christian Ringo, even though he hasn't set the world on fire during the preseason. I think it helps them that Mike Pinnell is suspended to open the regular season. Now, what happens when Mike Pinnell comes back, I'm not really sure about. But for now, to open the regular season, I do have the Packers keeping Christian Ringo. I wouldn't anticipate him getting a whole lot of playing time. But at least would be a step forward for him going from the practice squad last year to the 53-man roster this year. At inside linebacker, I have the Packers keeping five inside linebackers: Sam Barrington, Jake Ryan, Blake Martinez, Carl Bradford, and Joe Thomas. Which obviously they're keeping Barrington, Ryan, and Martinez, I think. But then you got choices after that. I just think both Carl Bradford and Joe Thomas have been so impressive this preseason. I think they can also offer something on special teams. And ultimately, that was the choice. My 53rd choice for this roster exercise came down to Kennard Backman and Joe Thomas. And I thought, ultimately, well, Joe Thomas can probably play on special teams or be a better special teams player than Kennard Backman. So I got the Packers keeping Joe Thomas here. Even though I got him going a little bit heavy on the linebacker position in general as I switch to outside linebackers here. I got the Packers keeping seven outside linebackers. Seven, that's a really big number. So Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers, Nick Perry, Dayton Jones, Jayrone Elliott, Laurenti McRae, and Kyler Fackrell. Seven outside linebackers there. And, you know, of course, I mean, if for some reason Matthews and Peppers were suspended, that would change things. Kyler Fackrell, I anticipate he's going to kind of have a red shirt season. You know, he's going to be that rookie who's on the 53-man roster, but is probably on the inactive list every week. You know, maybe that could change based on suspensions or if players get injured. But I just don't see him getting a whole lot of playing time. But the other guys will. And you could maybe classify Dayton Jones as a defensive lineman. I did not. I put him with the outside linebackers here. But however you want to break that down, he's part of the 53. Cornerbacks. I got the Packers only keeping five cornerbacks here. Sam Shields, Demarius Randall, Quentin Rollins, Ladarius Gunter, and then Robertson Daniel. Daniel I had as one of the last few to make the roster. Maybe going with five cornerbacks is a little bit low on depth. But then I also consider, you know, Micah Hyde, you know, he can play cornerback in a pinch. You don't really know if he's classified as a cornerback or safety. So five cornerbacks if you're not counting Hyde, six cornerbacks if you are counting Micah Hyde. So you can kind of look at it through that lens as well. And then safety, I have the Packers keeping four. HaHa Clinton Dix, Morgan Burnett, Micah Hyde, and Chris Banjo. I like Kentrell Bryce. I definitely think he'll be invited to the practice squad. I almost, like I said, I think he's a better defensive player than Chris Banjo, but Banjo probably the better special teams guy at this point, you know, experience because of one of them. You know, he's been around the NFL, I think, entering his fourth year now. So I think that gives Banjo the leg up, and hopefully Packers keep Kentrell Bryce around, and at some point he can be elevated to the 53-man roster, but it certainly wouldn't hurt him a year of seasoning on the practice squad if need be. And that leads us with the special teams players: Mason Crosby, Tim Maste, and Rick Lovato. Obviously a choice there between Maste and Peter Mortel. I just think Maste's been a little bit more consistent. I think he can get a little bit better hang time.
And it's a tough choice. And again, like I said, I might change my mind based on the last two preseason games. If Martell plays out of his mind, you know, maybe I ultimately go in that direction. But there you go. There is your 53-man roster prediction. And we'll probably do this again 2 weeks down the road, you know, when the Packers, you know, announce their final 53. I'll probably give my last prediction one more time. But there's just a quick look at the roster and the way I think shaking out right now. Again, injuries can play a big part. So obviously, you know, I can't blame anybody for changing their mind on a few players here or there if they were to give their own 53-man roster prediction. But that's mine right now. And you know, that leads us into the last segment of the show.
The day ahead.
The day ahead in the world of the Green Bay Packers. Monday marks the first practice for Jordy Nelson, who will take part in Monday's practice for the first time since coming off the PUP list last week, which is fantastic news. Nelson actually participated in pregame warmups this past Thursday in the game against the Oakland Raiders, even though he didn't play in the game. But this is his first practice on Monday. But this is all good news and constitutes progress after Nelson suffered a setback, injuring the right knee opposite his surgically repaired left knee. You know, whether he was overcompensating for the surgically repaired knee, you know, we don't really know. He hasn't commented on that specificness in regards to the injury. But Mike McCarthy indicated in his press conference last week that Nelson and Aaron Rodgers will do extensive one-on-one work in practice, and that certainly makes sense. You know, I would like to see Jordy Nelson actually get a little bit of playing time in the preseason. I know that's where he got injured last year. But, you know, just so he gets that work in and timing down with Rodgers in a game environment, I'd like to see that. But I'm not sure that's going to happen. In fact, if I had to guess, I don't think Jordy Nelson will play this Friday. I don't think he'll play in the preseason at all. I just think the Packers are going to withhold him entirely after being snake bitten last year with that injury. Again, it's just a guess and it could change. Maybe he plays a few snaps. Maybe he plays a couple series and maybe that's it in the preseason. But I think the Packers, like I said, erring on the side of caution. Also on Monday, Mike McCarthy's press conference will take place at 10:45 a.m. in advance of practice to be streamed live at Packers.com with coordinator press conferences to take place later in the day. I think they take place at like 4:45 p.m. Central Time. Again, streamed live at Packers.com, but you're going to have to confirm that for the exact time. And you can find that all right at the Packers official website. So just head there and you can find it all in their video section and their live streams right there. And that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us this morning. Thank you to Caitlin Sharkey for being our guest on the show on a Monday morning. Greatly appreciate the time she gave us to talk a little Packers football. We'll be back again on Wednesday with our usual Wednesday guest, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com, joining us for a second consecutive week here and hopefully for the rest of the season as well, as we take a little statistical look back at the Packers' last preseason game and a few other games as well. And looking forward to that. So we'll see you then, folks. Railbird Central airs every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, which is the live edition of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day. My call to action, as always, as usual, if you've not done so already, we'd greatly appreciate it if you gave us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. This show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you can do us a solid and go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV, it'll pop right up. Give us that 5-star rating and a brief little review. Doesn't have to be anything long, but it helps get word out about the show, which is ultimately what I like. I think it's a service to Packers fans, and it helps them find it. The more ratings there are, the more it'll pop up in search results and things like that. So we'll see you, folks. Like I said, have a good Monday. We'll see you in just a few days. I leave you today with a song called The Place I Call Home by the infamous String Dusters on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack Go.
Done to change their mind.